Well, early in my life, I discovered that there was so much discrepancy in art and architecture that I felt that if a man really wanted to make a dent, he couldn't do it alone, but that it would be necessary to build up a whole school which would take that as their task to investigate into all the conditions of the present time and find a new approach to all the problems. Out of that came the Bauhaus, which I didn't do alone, but with a group of quite a lot of today well-known people, like the painters Klee, Kandinsky, Molinari, Lionel Feininger, and others. And out of that, we built a method of approach how we should prepare our students for life. It was much more than a school of art or architecture. We really had an approach to a new way of life. The students took part just as much as the faculty of the institute. I must emphasize that even seen from today, this was not an attempt to create a style or a dogma. So in the country, we fought heavily against doing that. We wanted to find a proper research process, an open process, which remains open and is still open today, because it is not cut for this or that personality, but we try to find an objective means of informing the younger man how he should approach all these problems. I have coined this word. You know, Bauen has a much wider meaning in the German language than it does in the English one. The Bauer is the peasant. Bauen is very broad, you know. And so I wanted to have an expression of an institute which treats Bauen in very wide variety in any directions, even building up the human being, you know. Right. So this is a much wider margin as, say, architecture or building in the English language. That was the reason for this word. Well, you must remember people like the German people who had lost this big war, the First World War, in everyone's mind was, now we have to start fresh again. We have to investigate everything which we have done and trying to get into a fresh approach. This was really very definite in everyone's mind when I made this first pamphlet to call people to the Bauhaus, and students came who just had returned from the war, were in a rather shaky position without any money and so on. But I managed somehow with the wording of this pamphlet to stimulate them. They came and were open to find, to start a new approach to all these problems. And you know, so far, the academies were rather sterile. They were separate from the life, and we wanted to bring these things together again. We wanted to investigate what are the instruments of our life today, and how can we work for them and not have this separating wall between art on one side and the flowing life on the other side. So we had to investigate step by step also the means of production today. We started out with a craft because, in my opinion, the machine is only a refined hand tool. And without knowing the basic things of hand tools, the basic crafts, we don't understand the industry. So we asked everyone to go for a few years in one of our workshops and learn the craft properly. And you know, the craft in Germany was still a very strong thing. The craftsman was still organized. That's something one doesn't know here, for instance, that we had to fulfill certain requirements. We wanted somebody to make then his exam as a craftsman before free craftsmen in the community. For instance, when I tried to find teachers for the Bauhaus, I knew that there was no man in the world anymore who simultaneously was able to design a new chair and to make that chair. There were excellent craftsmen who could do anything, a rococo chair or whatever, or a modern chair when a design was given him. And on the other side, there were good designers, but they were not integrated. in the beginning, I put on the as heads of the workshop one artist and one craftsman. And in the second hub in Dessau, it was not necessary anymore to have this separation, because now there was a new crew where in one man we had the knowledge of the craft as well as the artistic approach. Some people have felt the same thing, but as it always is with new ideas, there were a lot of fight against it. We had to fight our way through every day, every day. It was very hard to come through. When I look backwards today, after what I know now, whether I would dare to start something like that again, I would say, how could I? But at that time, you know, when you are a young man and full of beans, then you have the impression that you will never die, and you go on. But it was a very, very heavy fight, hill up. And only very slowly it was recognized. Particularly the problem to bring art and the production of the day close to each other, where looked very askance for many people, particularly the artists. They didn't like that at all. They wanted to be entirely separate in their ivory tower, and we wanted to have that ivory tower destroyed. We wanted to pull the artist into the life of the people again, you know? This, of course, took a long while before it was recognized in a broader way, because we were not only fought by the population, but also in the end by the government, where we are pushed out of Weimar. Dessau, the mayor of Dessau, gave us the opportunity to build everything up again anew. Then came the Nazi regime and destroyed the Bauhaus altogether. But in spite of that, in spite of this uphill fight, I can state today that the idea of the Bauhaus has really spread and has penetrated through, not only in this country, but in England, in Italy, in Japan, and even other countries. From Russia, I have now quite a lot of examples that all of a sudden they recognize also the possibilities of the Bauhaus, because it was not a style approach, but it was an idea. And an idea is not personal, but impersonal.